Good day, everyone. This is Martha Childress, and welcome to the Natural Choice Network, a local platform and meeting place where sustainable living comes live. Naturalchoice.net and the Natural Choice Network directories have many great ways for a conscious consumer to connect, stay up to date on green resources, natural health, natural food, and mind spirit. And you can also stay connected right here with me every Tuesday at 12:30 on Alternative Talk 1150. Well, today I am honored and pleased once again to be able to help share my guest Fritzi Hortzman's story and her truly groundbreaking and inspiring Compassion Prison Project. She's got two YouTube videos that I highly recommend you see. And if you missed the last episode that I had Fritzi on, I encourage you to go to the archives. And if you did catch my last show with Fritzi, you'll totally understand why I wanted to have her back on again and so soon, and to talk about the second video. And welcome to the show, Fritzi. I can't wait to talk about this.
Martha, thank you so much. It's so great to be back.
Yeah. Just really quick, do you want to start by sharing your background and how the Compassion Prison Project evolved from your own experience with childhood trauma?
Absolutely. It all started when I read a book called The Body Keeps the Score by Bessel van der Kolk. And I learned that I had been traumatized as a child. I took an adverse childhood experiences test, which is 10 questions ranging from abuse, physical, sexual, and emotional abuse, to neglect, childhood, and having your parents get divorced, having alcoholic in the household, having mental illness in the household, and having a
all add up.
They all add up, and I had a 7. So once I realized that I had been traumatized, which is it changed my my whole perception of the world.
Yeah.
And I walked into a prison because I've always been worried about how our society has been treating the African-American population. Mm-hmm. And I was curious to see what criminal justice really looked like from the inside. I walked in and all my preconceptions were gone. And I was greeted by these incredible men. I talked to them. I learned that they had the same traumas that I had experienced as a child. And I said to them,
them as victims.
Well, I think most people that commit crimes are victims first.
Yeah.
And the men in prison have, from what I've learned, is they have 7, 8, 9, 10 aces. That's where that's where most of the abuse is.
Yeah. It's such a long chain of abuse and trauma too. I mean, just listening to some of the stories, I mean, that first video was so compelling. And then now to have the follow-up with the honor yard and to see how engaged they were and how much participation, it's like they've, once a lens was put on this, it's like that. It's just amazing to see them emerge.
Yes. I mean, they're brilliant, self-reflective, gentle souls that was my experience. And that was my experience also. That was at Lancaster State Prison. And, I was also at Kern Valley State Prison.
That's a major, offense, criminal, I mean, violent crime prison, isn't it?
Yeah. They're both maximum security prisons. Yeah. Most of these guys have LWOP, but where Step Inside the Circle and Honor Yard were filmed, it's called a programming yard, but they call it the honor yard. And mm-hmm. if you don't do any shenanigans, like be in a gang or have a cell phone or sell drugs, you get more programming and you get to develop yourself. They actually have a college there as well.
Wow.
And so these men are, and they also have a dog training program there. They're extraordinary men. And I asked what one of the guys, how many do you think could leave tomorrow? And he said, probably 50%. And then I said, with some support, another 30, 40%. So we're left with maybe 20% of the men in that yard, who are also extraordinary, but just have social emotional issues because they've been in prison for so long and they've been abused all their lives. And prison is not a gentle environment, as we know. That's my goal, though, is to transform prisons into healing centers in the next 3 years. And we've started talks with Delaware, which is, they have 3,500 incarcerated members.
Wow.
One prison in California has 3,500 residents.
Wow.
So that's a really not easy, but it's a smaller nut to crack. And then the idea is to bring them our trauma program that we've developed, which is, it's a 6-week program that really kind of takes you through the journey of your own trauma. And it also brings social emotional healing and self-awareness, things like the man that I am today or the woman that I am today, that I matter, you know.
Yeah.
Letters to the victims, letters to themselves.
Wow.
So they can really start taking accountability and then giving back. Giving back is the real message in our program, is building bridges back to society. And we just created a program called the Mastermind Program, for where returning citizens create community. So
wow.
you get off the bus and you have a place to, it's a Zoom call basically. And you get to talk about your problems and your issues, but also find more help. You know, it's like, it's a community. We're building communities now.
And, well, it's really cool that you're, you know, kind of establishing a model, you know, and something that they can kind of really see and emulate and, you know, start applying into different, different yards, because it is just amazing to see. I mean, just between the two videos, to see, like I said, how engaged, and I mean, you could just see hope on their faces and relief, you know, that they aren't evil. You know, I mean, all these things. So it's just, like you said, you know, after you read that book, it was like a game changer. It's like the whole way you look at the world can like turn on a dime once, you know, you look at yourself a little differently.
Yes. And that's the thing. That's the thing that society's been told, is that these people that are in prison are morally, that this is a choice they made. They made a choice to murder somebody. They made a choice. And when you find out what happens to the brain when it's traumatized, it's a whole different story. The story is your lizard brain gets activated, your prefrontal cortex shuts down, which is the executive function, the good decision making machine up there. That goes offline, and you're not thinking straight. It's, you know, that the same happens with traumatic head injuries.
Yeah.
You know, we just can't think when we don't have all of our faculties, and we do things we do. We say things we regret.
Yeah.
And a lifetime of regret. These men, and mostly I've been working mostly with men, you know, that one moment that they didn't even really realize they were doing.
Yeah. And then they're in prison for life, and they were traumatized as children. And then the current system, you know, separates them all, right? And they almost pits them against each other where they don't feel safe. And it really amplifies the trauma with the isolation that cultivated the criminal behavior in the first place. And so I think, you know, kind of shifting that, and that as more people understand that, it's like kind of what you put in, you get out. You know, if you put in, you know, compassion and understanding, and, you know, instead of just more, you know, isolation and punishment, I mean, it's a game changer.
Well, if you want safe streets, if you really want safe streets, you will stop abusing these men and these women.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The thing about it, though, is the correctional officers, a lot of them have 4 or more ACEs as well. And
what
we're learning about 4 or more ACEs, you're 7 times more likely to go to prison.
Wow.
And 6 more ACEs, your life expectancy drops by 20 years if it's unaddressed. I have 7 ACEs. So, and my father and my mother both died. My father died at 61. My mother died at 69. And so that's, and you hear about comorbidity, and I'm going to call it, I'm going to say that's trauma, and that's racial trauma, and that's child abuse. And
we'll talk about some of the symptoms of trauma, because, and also the 7 questions that, like the survey you take, because I think there's a lot of traumatized people out there that don't even know it.
Exactly. Well, hypervigilance, it's, you know, you just take PTSD and then, you know, the symptoms, they're all on our website. But everything from reenactment of the trauma, which is, you know, if when you're brutalized, you brutalize other people. And that's, and what a lot of the men I've worked with say is violence has been normalized in their communities and in their families. So, and they thought their father beating up their mother was a normal thing to do. So how do we pass that on? One of the things that I really want to bring about is it stops with me. You know, I was abused as a child.
Yeah.
Abuse stops with me. I'm not passing it down to my child. Although
Or enabling to, it's just like, you know, that in my experience, it's like, wow, I am not going to teach my kids how to be enablers.
Well, exactly.
Because then you just be, you know, you're just feeding the beast.
Yes. And you know, here's the thing. We have to give ourselves a break, because if we're like, oh God, I was a horrible mother. And, you know, I have moments of being a horrible mother. I do. I have so much trauma in my body. I'm not able to react in a calm, you know, they call it the vagal system. The ventral vagal is offline.
The threshold, for, you know, just an innate reaction that you don't, as I say, if you had a normal reaction time, you would, you know, probably change your reaction. But when you have this innate trigger, I mean, it's happened before your conscious mind could probably even catch up to it.
Well, that's the thing. And it's really lickety split. It's why I thought of that, but it's lickety split. I actually experienced that earlier today. I'm reading a book called The Presence Process, where the feelings that come up from childhood trauma are really being, I'm actually watching them go through my body, and it's kind of an amazing process. And I highly recommend it to anyone who wants to really start grokking into that, into childhood trauma and the feelings that feel so uncomfortable, where you want to run and have a drink. I've been dying for a glass of wine through this whole process, because you really just want to numb. And this whole society, that's what we're doing. We're numbing. We dissociate. We don't want to feel these feelings. We're afraid of these feelings, but if we run from them, they show up, they keep showing up. So,
well, I think of one of the really important things when they were, the inmates were kind of talking about their experiences and how they were also kind of bringing in the recognition that the people that caused them the trauma were also traumatized. And so there's, you know, a forgiveness and understanding and compassion, you know, goes both ways, starts to go both ways.
Absolutely. Generational trauma. That's what we're dealing with. I was in my mother's body, my mother, who probably has an 8 or a 9 on her ACEs. I was in her body. I was living in that body with all that anxiety, and she smoked, and, you know, she's rageaholic. So all of that abuse was just going on through in my system, just being in her womb and then, you know, living with her for 20 years. That's what's going on. And, you know, it's like this society really, I recommend we take a big deep breath and love each other and just say, hey, my gosh, what have you been through? You poor people.
My name is Martha Childress, and I have been traumatized.
Yes. And just living in the United States right now is really,
it's
really
trauma.
It is, because here's the thing. Trauma makes you feel separate from each other. And right now, this system of division that we're kind of all buying into is really a symptom of trauma, I would say. And so, my brother, Donald Trump, he's my brother. And my brother, Joe Biden, he's my brother. They are me. And I am not going to divide myself and pick sides. Ultimately, that's what keeps our trauma in place. And it's what keeps this society reactive
in the loop. Yeah.
And not responsive. We're not responding to each other.
Because it's the whole blame, guilt, shame trap.
Which is trauma. Trauma feeds off of this.
Because you don't want to face it. And so you got to blame it on somebody else, or you feel so shame, you blame it on yourself. You know, as I say, it's just a continuous cycle. And at that point, when you kind of understand it, and like you said, it's like, it stops with me. I'm getting off this hamster wheel, because it is not serving anybody. And I think is what's so compelling. And so just watching, as I say, you got to watch these videos. I cry through them every time I watch them, because it's so moving, because I think it probably taps into some of my own early trauma too. And so I think on a certain level, we can all relate, and it is all relative. Whatever caused your trauma, trauma's trauma, you know, so we can still be triggered by it, you know, very, very easily. But when you just see just how engaged and just, you know, faces don't lie. I mean, this goes deep. I mean, it is just so moving to see them start to, you know, like I said earlier, to look at it through a different lens. And then that's when they realize, wow, there is hope, you know, and if they're doing it together, As I say, and if we're all separated, no one's going to kind of, you know, I see you and you see me and let's, you know, kind of move, you know, move forward together, understanding instead of against each other. Like you said, the Democrats versus Republican or whatnot, but, you know, the only winners are the ones that are kind of leveraging off the hate and separation. So, you know, that's really important to step away from that. It's like, no, we don't. We don't want all the winners to be narcissists, you know. we gotta bring in a door number three, which is us, you know, caring about each other and understanding each other.
Yeah, as Brené Brown said, she says, it's not about being right, it's about getting it right.
Yes.
And yes. I really love that because it's, you know, it's about getting it right. Why are we here? And here's the thing. There are people, there are humans in prison. That's the thing. One of the great things that came out of your show from our last conversation is I got a letter from a beautiful man named Cherub, and he's been writing me, and he wrote about his childhood trauma, horrendous. His mother, I don't want to tell all of his story, but he was 3 years old when his mother died, and he was left alone in the room with her. And it just went from there. And he's 75 years old and he doesn't even have a television in there. I think he's 75. I don't know. And he's in his 70s and he's just an articulate, beautiful man without a television, without a radio. He has a radio because he heard us, without a CD player. I mean, he doesn't have a family. So this is what I get worried.
It's a lifeline.
Well, and this is what I get worried about is, how many men in there, how many women in there don't have family that they can count on? I mean, we're their family. This is my family. My family is 2.3 million people in prison, and it's the rest of the people in the United States. I mean, Martha, you're my family. We're all in this together, and we're forgetting this, and we're lied to, and we're told fear stories. There's plenty of food for everyone. There's plenty of money for everyone, and let's share it. You know, why are we hoarding $200 billion. What are we going to do? What can we possibly buy? You know, another pair of socks? Fine, get your socks and let's save the world.
Well, and even that's rooted in fear, you know, from, you know, the people that feel like they have to have millions of dollars in the bank or they have to, you know, control everybody else is because they're actually, you know, that's how they're dealing with it. Not in violence, but that's how they feel safe. And it's all about feeling safe. You want to talk about that aspect of it?
Well, and being safe is actually the first step in healing your trauma. Yeah. And that's the first thing you need. And that, and in a prison environment, that's really, that can be really challenging. And so these are the things, that's a trauma-informed prison is when, you know, the guards, when they see someone react, they realize it's not an act of disrespect. It's actually a trigger and they're having a reaction. A traumatic event is happening in their minds. And so we start changing the way we think about each other. And then we start healing each other. I mean, the correctional officers.
The violence is a symptom of trauma. I mean, well, how do you stop the violence? Well, you know, you start to understand and deal with the trauma. Like you said, if you really want our streets safe, that is the first step.
Yes. And we want those men and women returning from prisons to be whole.
And then they can share a gift with their stories. I mean, you know, they have so much to give. And the minute you start giving, boy, is that transforming as well.
And they know how to heal their communities. That's the thing. Yeah. They know what's wrong. They've seen the problems. They've seen the lies that they've been told. And they have the keys. So we're basically our best resource in having safer streets and having better communities is locked up, you know, in these cells that treat people like they're animals. And the thing is, what you do to others, you do to yourself. So what we're doing, you know, in our consciousness, we're doing this to these men. We're like, we know something's wrong. We know something's off and we're not doing anything about it. And
there's no one in their right mind would do any of that stuff. It's like, how could they do that? Well, you know.
But it's just another symptom of trauma. I mean, this is what Hitler was traumatized and all the men that were under his command were also traumatized.
So, and that's why if you've been traumatized, it's so easy to be manipulated. And so part of, you know, just kind of, you meant if you want to start exercising your own sovereignty, it's like exercising, you know, the understanding that, wow, I have been traumatized and I can control my, my triggers if I learn, number one, that I have them, and number two, why I have them. And there's no shame in it.
No, there's no shame. It's just learning how to respond and knowing what triggers are and seeing them. It's practice and it's awareness and it's
lots of practice. And
yes. And self-love though, just giving yourself love and permission to go through this process. I mean, the poor people who work it with me, sometimes they just have to deal with my triggers and I'm working on them. I'm on it, but
well, it's a lifelong thing, you know. I mean, when we all kind of like, oh, you know, they're working on their trauma. You know, it's not like succumbing. I mean, you still need boundaries and whatnot, but it's like, I'd like to know if I've, you know, done something.
Yeah, I know. And I don't want to hurt anyone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, because I know when I hurt someone else, I'm hurting myself. And it's not just a selfish thing. It's like, I really care about the people that are in my life. And I really want to, you know, do my best, but old, you know, trauma kind of lives in you and it's like a haunt.
Yeah. It's a cancer. It's totally a cancer. And what was really interesting, you know, when you think of the, like the ancestral trauma and the cultural trauma, I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, there's just so much we could learn from each other. As I say, as the societies, as different races. And what was really interesting is when that one gentleman was talking about, he goes, well, I don't really understand where the effects of slavery were on my behavior. And he goes, until I realized that I was bullwhipped as a child, you know, and it's just like, well, where did they learn to get, you know, they were bullwhipped as slaves. And it was so interesting to see him put that together. And it's just like, wow. So there, like they say, there's so much that's just culturally or race related that, you know, as I say, you're just born programmed into it.
I know. And here's the other piece though. I'm grateful for my trauma. I would not be sitting here talking to you. I would not be working with these men. I would not be healing. I'm grateful because I really believe, you know, I got the tools and part of my tools were trauma. I got the tools to work with these men and these women. And I'm so grateful that I can be a voice for the unseen, the unheard, and the most, as I say, the most traumatized members of our society are living in prison. And that is the plea. Please, let's take care of these beautiful people. Because you give them a chance and they will blossom. That's the thing.
And wherever you're seeing hate or violence, you know, behind it's trauma.
Exactly. And the other part, though, they say, well, why, you know, I had an ACE score of 9 and I'm not in prison. Well, guess what? There was one person or one moment in your life where you were seen as having potential. That's called resilience. And when you have somebody who cares about you, Oprah talks about her school teacher who saw her, and that changed Oprah's trajectory. And I had my father and sometimes my mother. My parents were great on when they weren't raging or drunk. But they had that moment where they would see me. They're like, Fritz, you can do it. You can do anything you want. And, you know, I kind of believed them. And here, you know, here we are. Here I am standing in circles with 235 incarcerated men.
They respect you and love you so much. Well, here we are just like zooming through again and skipped our break, but I'm going to have to take a really quick one here and we'll be right back with some closing thoughts.
Taking care of your oral health is more than just keeping your teeth looking their very best. It's a way to prevent other diseases or problems from arising as a result of bad dental hygiene. Dr. Tom Seal is a holistic dentist. He pays close attention to detail, such as biocompatibility of dental materials, to enhance the overall health of his patients. Dr. Tom Seal empowers you to take greater responsibility of your health through natural dental care. Call 425-823-9000 today for a healthy and beautiful smile. Or go to naturalchoice.net. Keyword search, Tom Seal.
If you're looking for reliable natural care, the internationally recognized Tahoma Clinic and Dispensary may be just what you're looking for. Dr. Wright, the clinic's medical director, is a well-respected leader in the field of alternative medicine and bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. The clinic emphasizes a science-based approach. Many of its treatment protocols are based on its knowledge base of over 40,000 published articles in its library. To find out more about Tahoma Clinic and its three locations, call 425-264-0059 or go to naturalchoice.net. Keyword search, Tahoma.
Catherine Larson at InnerSource Counseling has over 30 years' experience providing mental health care. She believes that therapy is a personal journey. Her mission is to offer guidance to those who are dedicated to their personal healing. Sessions are conducted in an atmosphere of warmth, openness, and respect. Catherine works with children, adults, and couples to help them find the most effective path for healing. Start your healing today. Call 206-933-1710. Or go to naturalchoice.net. Keyword search, Inner Source Counseling.
No other station delivers this much variety. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hi, my name's Gail Picken with the Northwest Mind Body Spirit Connection, and you are listening to the Natural Choice Network on Alternative Talk 1150.
So, Fritzy, I'm so sorry we just ran through the time so fast today again. So can you please just give us your websites and the YouTube videos and whatnot so people can learn more and find the surveys?
Absolutely. Please go to CompassionPrisonProject.org. Our videos are on the website, and the ACE test is on the website, and the donate button is on the website. We would love your support. We're also looking for volunteers who are interested in learning about leading circles on Zoom, which is what we're doing now for returning citizens and soon in prisons. And just you know, write your senators, write your congressmen. Let's change the system now. It's time. We're done with this. We're done with the old paradigm. Time for the new. Thank you again,
yeah,
Martha.
Absolutely. And I really encourage people to listen to the first show that Fritzy and I did. We talked about a lot of really interesting things then too. It's amazing, as I say, it's such a metaphor for so much else of what's going on there. And if it's starting to shift and change in the prison system, you know, the opportunity, the potential, as I say, as a society and as a entire planet as well, definitely can do the same thing. So thank you so much for joining us today, Fritzy.
It was great. Thanks again, Martha.
Okay, and thanks to all of our listeners for choosing to join in too. As you know, our choices create our experiences, and collectively our experiences create our community. So online, on air, and on print, thank you for making the natural choice.